All right. We're talking about what? The faith that takes. All right. We're not talking about the faith that waits. We're talking about the faith that takes. All right. Now, this topic, I believe, again, to me, is an extremely important one, because once you get born again, one of the greatest things you must learn is about faith. All right. Now, we were looking at some scriptures, and I don't want to go there this time. I want to kind of cut through everything and go right to it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Excuse me. Let me know when you get there. All right. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. That word patience, in other words, is endurance. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. After you've done the will of God. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live how? By faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Keep going. The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So what he's saying, there is things that came into being were not made out of something that was already visible. That's the way faith works. Oh, this is so rich. All right, now, let's zero in on a portion here that I think is something that I want to, being led by the Lord to have you cover tonight. Let's go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Let me know when you get to James chapter 5. Verse 14, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, underline that, shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a what? Of a righteous man, what? Endureth much, availeth much. Now, he goes on down, talks about a righteous man, one who was in the Old Testament accounted righteous. Verse 17. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we, and he prayed earnestly that it may not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now this is a man who righteousness was reckoned to. You and I have been made the righteousness of God. These in the Old Testament were reckoned or accounted righteous, but we've been made the righteousness of God. Now, what do we say about righteousness? We say that righteousness is not the goody-goody way that you act. But righteousness has to do with the nature of God.
Yes, sir.
Righteousness has to do with the ability of God being manifested through you. It has to do with being in right standing with God. Amen. Now, once you and I get born again, we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, here's my paper. Here's my paper. Look what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1. That's a couple of doors over to the right. And verse 1, Simon Peter, and servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. All right. Righteousness is the life and the nature of God in you. In other words, it's sonship. It's God's ability taking possession of you. It's the ability to stand in the presence of God, our Father, without a sense of guilt or condemnation, watch this, or shame or unworthiness or inferiority. I said a lot in that. Now, this is important to us because one man said there is nothing that man needs so much today as a sense of righteousness. Satan knows the power of sin and sin consciousness. Even after a person has been forgiven. The Bible says in 1 John, come on over to 1 John, please. One more page. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. Look at 1 John chapter 5, please. 1 John chapter 5, have you got it? Look at verse 17. Put it up on the board. All unrighteousness is sin. What does sin do between you and God? Separates you from him. It connects you with the devil. So my point to you is, if the enemy can't get somebody to sin, he'll try to get them to have sin consciousness. I am so guilty from what happened I did 15 years ago. He knows you still can't hear from God. So that individual now is in a place where the effective fervent prayer won't work for him or her because they're not operating in righteousness. I told you that time I was in Minnesota and it's Saturday night. I'm getting a message from God for the next morning. We had started the church there. And so I'm here trying to get a message. I'm struggling, wrestling. And then I just broke down and started kind of acting like I'm crying, you know. God, give me a message. The people need them. And I heard someone say, what are you doing? I mean, just like that, really, kind of insulted. You know what I mean? And I said, I'm trying to get a message, you know. And is that the way you come before me? No, not righteous. Because righteousness says, I come boldly to the throne of grace. You follow what I'm saying? Now, notice, when a person's like that, now they're moving away from God. Now it's hard for them to hear God, or if they do hear him, they wonder whether they really heard him, and so forth. But righteousness is not like that, because the thoughts of the righteous are right. I know what I heard when I stand up here and I said there are three more souls that need to come. And they come. Stood up here one Sunday and said, hey, there are two ladies in here and you think you're cutie pies. Matter of fact, people call you so cute and y'all run together and you're cutie pies and so forth. Now, I'm here to tell you, you're in here. I'm calling you out. You need to be saved. They jumped out of the chair and came on up here. Thought they were cute. Now, hold it. I'm just saying that's why the prophets can hear God, because they how can I say this? They are willing to be ridiculed. When I say that, now hear what I'm saying now. I'm saying that the righteous are bold. And when that comes back again, God, he moves. See, because if a person is under that, is a sense of inferiority and so forth and so on, that's a dangerous place to be. Let me show you that. Turn to Ecclesiastes, please. And let's look at Ecclesiastes and now that word is Ecclesiastes, not Ecclesiastics. Okay, Ecclesiastes, and let's go to chapter 10, please. Chapter 10. Are y'all with me? Now, I'm saying this to you because some things may have happened to you in your past, but you're going to have to get over it. You have to get over it. Now, I understand that you know, things didn't go right and so forth and so on. My mama did and that. But somewhere you're going to have to start operating in the royalty that God has called you. And you can't look both ways, folks. You're going to have to look one way with God. Look what it says here in verse 16. Now, this is a sign of an unrighteous person, or a person who has a sense of inferiority. Woe to thee, land, O land, when the king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is a son of nobles, and princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. Let me give you another one. Hold it. I thought I had another one. There is another one. I'm not sure where it is. But what does it say? It says, woe to thee, O land, when the king is a child. When a person, I can give you my example. I was looking for a job one summer, and I couldn't find one. I was going from high school to college. I needed money, I'm telling you, so bad, I was willing to take anything. Well, I went to the university, but the university didn't have anything, any jobs, except they had a couple of jobs of people who would go up to Connecticut and pick tobacco. They didn't call it that. They call it tobacco consulting. I don't know, something, whatever it was. And they gave you a bus ticket, and I went all the way up to Connecticut from Alabama and got there. And oh, boy, when I was there, I'm telling you, I got there, and, you know, nobody's hardly there with me because I got there kind of early. And then everybody started coming in. The guys started coming in. And they start talking about, yeah, hey, where were you locked up at? Oh, I was locked up at Rikers Island. Oh, where were you locked up at? I said, oh, man, what's up here? So then, you know, I'm trying to man up, you know what I mean. And so I messed around, opened my bag and so forth, and all my toiletries and so forth, and I went to the bathroom. I came back, everything was gone. I said, man, oh, man. Then I went out and they say, well, you pick tobacco, we pick you up in the morning, 4:30, you get up, eat breakfast and done, hit the truck and we go out in the back of the field. I said, man. So I'm thinking I'm going to be the supervisor, I'm going to be something. But I'm out there in the tobacco field. They said, now wear two pair of pants. I'm wondering why I got to wear two pair of pants. And I have two pair of pants because you get on the ground and you scoop and dig a hole and plant. Scoop, dig a hole and plant. Scoop, dig a hole and plant. Oh, Lord. Scoop, And that row is so long, you can't see the end of it. That is a fact. After I came back that day, I called my dad, "Dad, this is your son." I'm thinking he's going to say, "Son, come on back. Just here." I didn't know it was going to be like that. Here's what he said. "Well, just stick it out for about another week. Just see how it just..." I said, "Boy, ain't no love. Ain't no love." Now, very interesting. Something happened during that time. That the thing got out that I was different. There's something about this guy's got some powers. Now, what happened? One of the guys got sick, and I happened to have something my dad gave me, you know. He took medication. He always think, "I need some." And he, bless his heart, I mean, he's with the Lord now, but he's all right. He ain't on medication no more. But I gave him some, and it healed him just like that. So they call me medicine man or something. I don't know. So they would protect me. They don't mess with him. Don't mess with nothing. So I could have to run to the place. And then, I mean, now the stuff was growing, and I'm not scooting anymore. I'm on my knees now, you know. And I'm saying things got better. And I'm telling you, after I left, they offered me to come back next year and be the assistant foreman. I said, "I appreciate it, and I love y'all, but I will never come back here in my life." Now, that was an experience for me. Why did I tell you that story anyway? Okay, I told you that story because one day, the boss left, and he left one of the guys in charge. And you call him a straw boss. Now, where did they get that name from? You know where they got it from? They got it from Exodus, where they had to go out and get straw. And they had their own people beating them. Huh? Why would they beat them? Because they had low self-esteem. And don't ever put a person in a supervisory position with a sense of inferiority. They will misuse you and abuse you. Got it? So for God to sit you up there with him, you cannot have inferiority.
That's right.
You cannot, or else you'll ruin something in the kingdom. So he's got to get rid of all of that. You are a king. You are a queen. You are royalty. You are his child. You are his son. And you notice when the prodigal son came back home, he got the best robe. Didn't he get the best robe? He didn't get the one on sale. Got the best robe. And he got shoes. He got the ring. He got the full run of the kingdom. But there was an elder brother that came in there. And that elder brother, the first thing he did is he came. He heard music. He said, "What are they doing in there?" One of the servants said, "Well, your brother who's lost has come back and they've thrown a party for him." "What?" And then his dad came out and said, "Son, why don't you come on in and join us?" He said, "Wait a minute. All these years I've served you. All these years now. I didn't leave you, didn't do it. I served you. I stayed right here, worked for you." And he said, "Now this boy, this trifling boy, who went out there and slept with prostitutes, smoked reefer." I'm bringing that in at myself. I'm just saying all these things. Now notice what he did. He pointed out all the deficiencies of the other person. And that's what unrighteousness will do. It will not let you see the good in people. It always focuses in on everything they did wrong. Come on now. See, and I'm just saying that you cannot lift others when you're down. How do you build somebody up and you need to be built up? So that's what I'm saying. Y'all stay with me. Y'all mad at me for saying this? No, you can't do those kids like that. You got to build them up. You got to speak into their lives. Say, "Boy, you're going to be something whether you want to be something or not. And I'm going to make sure you're going to be something. So you may as well be something because I'm going to make sure you're going to be that." Are you following what I'm saying? This whole business about you ain't going to never be nothing so far. See, you flew off on that. But that was the wrong word. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church now. Okay. Righteousness. Righteousness. And that's what you're coming into. Now, what I'm saying in an environment of righteousness, everything is restored. The first thing is restored is peace. The first thing is restored. He said over in Isaiah chapter 32, in righteousness, there's assurance and there is peace. Got it? He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. For this is a heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Wow. So the next thing is restored in righteousness is the fellowship with God. And you see now that what God has is yours. Here's the prodigal son's brother. Here's what he said. I ain't coming in there. And the father said, son, don't you know that everything I had was always yours? But if you don't feel righteous enough, you can't receive it. And then the last thing is restored is faith. Once you get righteousness restored in your life, your faith will flow like a flood.
Come on, Pastor.
The stronger your righteousness is, the more powerful your faith will flow. And listen here, it'll flow without effort. Because I don't think it was meant for us to have to work up faith.
Amen.
I think faith is a natural part of our nature. It just flows out. Okay? Now, here, let me just give you this and we're done. So, yeah. So, where are my notes? Okay. So, the desire of the righteous shall be granted. The righteous shall be delivered out of trouble. That's Proverbs 8 and 11. The first one, Proverbs 10, 24. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Proverbs 11, 21. The righteous shall flourish like a tree. Proverbs 8, 28. The righteous shall inherit the land. Psalms chapter 37, 29. The righteous are bold as a lion. There is no begging for the righteous. Your days of begging are over. All right? Now, let's just do one more because this is the one that I want you to hear. Turn to 1 Peter, please, in chapter 3. So I'm talking about faith, but I'm saying people have been trying to get faith without what? Righteousness. And it's been hard to work up. It's just not working. Okay, the last thing, come on with me. Have you got it? Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the who? Righteous. Keep going. And their ears, his ears are open to their prayers. All right. Let's put that with 1 John chapter 5. Come on over there. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his what? Will. Come on. He hears us. And if we know that he what? Hear us. Whatsoever we ask, we know we what? Have the petition, come on, that we desired of him. Now, how do we know he heard us? Because we prayed according to what? His will. I guarantee you, if you are walking in unrighteousness, you still don't believe he heard you. Because unrighteousness brings you down to that feeling realm. You got to feel it first. But in righteousness, that's where you can walk like that. Now, I just want to throw this out there, and I'd like you to receive it. When you pray, do you expect an answer? Now, you're in church, and you know all liars will be thrown in the lake. Okay. All right, let me ask that again. Well, let me ask it another way. When you pray, do you get an answer? Okay, all right. I just want you to be honest with yourself. Now, I'm not saying this is not a faith statement. I just want you to kind of locate yourself where you are. Because maybe this whole idea about righteousness is something you need to study. Got it? Because you remember I told you about this lady who was staying near a prison and they had a prison break One of the prisoners came into the lady's house. She was over about 85 years old, and she out there on the farm by herself and cooking. And the prisoner broke in the door and so forth, had a gun, told her to put her hands up, and she turned around and looked at him. She said, "You better put that thing down and sit down and get something to eat." And ended up taking him back to the prison. Here's a lady, 85, but still has a sense of righteousness. Why? Because righteousness is a force. It will make the devil shut up. It is the nature of God. It will come out of you like it just oozes out. It's a boldness. People can sense it. So, prayer of faith. When I pray, something's going to happen. Now, don't be like the man, the lady ran in the church and said, "I need some prayer." The deacons were standing around. The head deacon said, "I'll let Mr. Jones pray for you." "No, I don't want Mr. Jones to pray for me. I want Deacon Brown to pray for me." So, "Well, why do you want Deacon Jones?" "Because Deacon Brown has some strong prayer." Well, Deacon Brown didn't pray strong. He just prayed loud. My point to you is you go back in the scriptures and you look in chapter 18 where Abraham interceded for Lot. And God sent angels and got him out. You go in Genesis 28, and you'll see where Jacob prayed. You'll go in Exodus chapter 2. You'll see where the children of Israel prayed. You go in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 11. Here's what Moses said. Moses said, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Because here's God. God said, get away from them. I'm going to wipe this bunch out. He said, wait a minute. So forth and so on. And then the Bible says the Lord repented. Over in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 13. How about the time that Miriam became leprous? And Moses said, called the Lord and said, "Lord, heal her now. God, I beseech you." And he healed her. I'm saying you go through David and David at Ziklag when he had come back from fighting the battle in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And look what had happened. They had come and taken all the families and everything while the men were off the battle. And they wanted to even come against David. And David had to stir himself up. And then he prayed to the Lord. He said, "Shall I pursue or shall I stay here?" He said, "Pursue, overtake, and recover all." I'm talking about prayer now. And how about the counsel of Ahithophel? This is when David and here's Ahithophel rose up in David's kingdom, and he's going to work a scheme and take David's kingdom or Absalom take David's kingdom away from him. And Absalom had need of the counsel of Ahithophel so that Ahithophel would tell him what to do. And David prayed, "Lord, confuse the counsel of Ahithophel." He did not once say anything about Absalom. And once he did that, Absalom got the wrong counsel. And the next thing you know is Absalom ended up getting hung up on a limb as he went through it. His hair caught on a limb. And once it did, one of the men came and shot an arrow through his heart. I'm talking about prayer now. And how about over in 1 Kings chapter 18. This is where Elijah was confronting the prophets of Baal. And remember what he said? They had set up an altar and they had danced around there trying to get their God to move, but he wouldn't move. And then Elijah said, "Wait a minute, maybe he's on vacation. Step back, boys." And he said, "Oh, Lord God, you know, show that you are God." And the next thing you know, the fire fell. And I'm saying that, look at that answer to prayer. How about 2 Kings chapter 6? This is when Elijah prayed and he saw the Syrian army surrounding him. He said, "Lord, smite these people with blindness." And God smote him. How about 2 Kings chapter 19? This is Hezekiah. He had no way out, but he sent his runners to Elijah. And they came back with a note from Elijah, and he took the note, went up in the temple, spread it before the Lord, and began to pray. The next thing you know, the Lord came and he slayed all the enemies, so forth and so on. How about 2 Chronicles chapter 20? This is Jehoshaphat. He had no way out, but he stood before God, and once he prayed, God began to speak through a prophet, one of the Levites, and he said, "You'll not need to fight this battle. The battle is not yours, but God. Go up to tomorrow and begin to praise me and see the salvation of God." How about Esther? Esther. And here's the ordinance said, kill all the Jews. But Esther, the Bible said, 3 days of fasting and prayer. And then she went into the throne of the king, and he pointed his scepter at her and said, Esther, what is it that you want? I'll give it to you over up to half my kingdom. Now, I'm talking about prayer now. And look at Psalm chapter 35. Let's just look at that real quick. Now, I'm saying when you pray, expect something to happen. I said expect something to happen. You don't need to feel it. You don't need to have some dogs bark. All you need to do is get on your knees. When you get on your knees, every demon should tremble. And I'm saying, you might not be in a place where you can get on your knees, but you're in your car and you can say, okay, Lord, thou art God Almighty. And you begin to pray. Look what it says in Psalm 35. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive against me. Fight it against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler. Stand up for my help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say to my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. And let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. And let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause they have hid for me their net in a pit. Without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon them as unawares, and let the net that they have hid catch themselves into that very destruction. Let them fall, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, and it shall rejoice in his salvation. Say amen to that. So what am I saying to you? Turn to Jeremiah, please, and chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. And Ezekiel said, I sought for a man among them who would stand in the gap and make up the hedge that for the land that I would not destroy it, but I found none. In other words, in the Old Testament, there was no days man. There was no intercessor. But that's not happening today. You see, in the Old Testament, the power, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4, was on the side of the enemy. Why? Because Jesus had not stripped him of his power. But in the New Testament, once Jesus rose from the dead, he stripped Satan of all the power that he had. And now Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. I'm saying when you're in trouble, it used to be in the Old Testament, when your hedge is down, the serpent will just bite you. But in the New Testament, Jesus can pray, and then he'll get somebody in the earth through the Holy Ghost to pray in tongues. For when you know not what you should pray for as you ought, just pray in the Spirit, and you pray the perfect will of God for the saints. And you see, you may be in trouble and made a mistake, but God will make somebody put up a hedge around you so that the serpent will not bite you, because his mercy is new every morning. Look what it says in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 3. Call unto me, and I might answer thee. No, it didn't say might answer thee. It says I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things. Come on. That you know not. How about the shortest prayer in the Bible? Here's Peter, jumped out of the boat a little ahead of his faith. And so he started to sink when he was walking on the water, and he cried a short prayer. Lord, save me. That's all you got to do. You don't have to get down. Sometimes you can't pray an hour, but you can say, Lord, rescue me. Lord, save my child. Lord, bring that money in here. And I'm saying here, look at the time that Jesus was over at the graveside of Lazarus. He said, Lord, I'm saying this loud but I'm not saying it to you loud, because I know you hear me always. I'm saying if he hears Jesus always, he'll hear you always, because you've got the same righteousness in you that Jesus has in him. Oh, Acts chapter 4, they got together in unified prayer. There's some power in corporate prayer. And once they prayed, the Bible says the whole place began to shake and tremble. How about in the book of Acts in chapter 16? Here's where they were. They were all in that prison. Here's Paul and Silas, and they prayed and then began to sing praises unto God, and the whole place shook. What am I telling you? The prayer of faith. You pray it, don't try to feel anything. Just know that if God answered the prayer for Abraham, if he answered it for Jacob, if he answered it for David, if he answered it for Esther, if he answered it for Daniel, if he answered it for Jesus, if he answered it for Peter, if he answered it for Paul, he's going to answer it for you and you and you. So it's time to pray and see God move. Give God a praise. That's what I came to tell you tonight. He said, when you pray, expect something to happen. Do you hear what I'm saying? No more just sending up a scattershot. When you take time, said, okay, Mr. Devil, I'm going to bend my knee. And I'm going to put an end to all that you're doing. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I'm just saying bend the knee, but you can pray any kind of way. You can pray running. You can pray all kinds of ways. Say amen to that. But I'm saying just don't think lightly of prayer. Prayer now introduces the most powerful force that there is available in the universe. It put God right in the middle of your situation. And you have a covenant right to answered prayer.
Yes, sir.
That's your blood-bought right.
Come on.
See, covenant says what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine. And when I call on you, you got to come. But when you call on me, I got to come. Call on him. And he will answer. And show you great and mighty things that you know not. Oh yeah, Jesus is right there. He's waiting. Give me something to work with. If you're here tonight, boy, I'm telling you, that's the message right there. That's the message right there. You don't know what to pray for. You say, Lord, I don't know what to pray for. So it's okay with you, Lord. I'm going to just pray in the spirit. So speak unto prayer. And then after you finish praying in the spirit, say this, I believe I've received it. Now you went around the whole system of the devil. He couldn't even touch you. But something happens when you pray. Yeah. This is our time, saints. The world can't pray. You can pray. But when you pray, something is going to happen. I'm telling you this with a prophetic voice right now. From now on, when you pray, something is going to happen. That's what's happening right now. That every trap and pit that's been set up for you, they're going to fall into it themselves. Might be somebody here. You said, Pastor, I need to be saved.